push me as hard. On to the home. Reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short of you. Reach me to you. I'm reaching out to you, dear.
Just thinking there when Gary was talking about the fire, Brother Branham told a story one time about when he found the old tortoise and he poked him, and the old tortoise, he went into his shell and he couldn't get him to move, and then he hit him a wee bit of a kick, still couldn't get him to move, then he got a bigger stick and he gave him a bit more of a kick, couldn't get him to move. So eventually what he done was he lit a fire. Well, he put the fire under him, he soon shifted. You get a bit of the fire in you, it'll make you shift. It'll make you move. It'll, like Rock used to say, we're not a bunch of mannequins. We don't want to be like a bunch of mannequins. We're not in an organization where if you're caught moving, you'll be took out. If we see anybody moving, you'll be took out the back and talked to. No, that's not the way it works. You know, if you don't like a bit of noise and a bit of praise, you're not going to have much of a time in heaven, I don't think. Because it says it's full of praise. And hallelujah rings through the whole earth. When you shout hallelujah, like John says, when you shout that, he goes through the heavens. He loves to be praised. He loves to be glorified. That's why he's God. God is an object of worship. And he loves your praise. He loves your worship. And you say, oh, well, I don't feel like it. Just take a minute and think of why you've got to praise him. He sent his only begotten son for you and for me. He took the most precious thing that he had and gave it for me and you. You know, Abraham took his son. It was an example, wasn't it? It was a type of Christ. He took his only son by it took faith to take him. But God provided a sacrifice. But God sent his son in the form of a man. And there was nobody else could substitute that. There was nobody else could say, I'll step in and take your place even if they wanted to. There was nobody good enough. There's nobody able. There's only one supreme sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He's the only one good enough. Let's try and sing, just sing one more before we return to God's word. We'll try and sing, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. You know, that's something to be glad of, isn't it? If you don't feel like praising him, think of these words. I know it was the blood for me. And that blood was from Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. I know it was the blood. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it was the love. I know it was the love. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross. I know it was the blood.
Exalted. Lord, I pray that you will sustain, that you will uplift, and you will bless, Lord, that you will heal, save, and deliver in Jesus Christ's name this morning. For the glory of God, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Lord bless each and every one. It's good to see our brother John back this morning. I say it was the Antichrist system that stopped you then from going any further. That's the day and age we live in. You know, and this morning I want to talk about the battle of your mind. And I want to talk a wee bit this morning about this day and age that we're living in, if I can, by God's grace. And this morning we'll turn our Bibles, before you take your seat if you don't mind, we'll turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. just as a wee. I have a whole load of scriptures here this morning, and I don't know where I'll get through this all or not get through this all. I plan to put this here lump of junk down for a timepiece. The Lord bless each and every one this morning. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and verses 4, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Amen. You may take your seats this morning. The Lord bless each and every one this morning. In the Lord Jehovah. Isn't that what Abraham said? He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Maybe you feel like this morning that you're in a sticky position, but I want you to know this morning that he's still Jehovah Jireh. I want you to know this morning that he's still what he said to Moses at the burning bush. He says, "I am that I am." He said, "Who will I say sent me?" He said, "Say, I am that I am sent thee." And the I am is still the same this morning. He hasn't changed one bit. He says in his word here, he says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 8, he says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when God says forever, he doesn't mean he'll think about it for a wee while and he changes his mind. When God makes a decision, it's not like a man. There's no way it can be changed. That's the beauty about going to God's word. You could read a book, and some man could have been inspired to write that book. And he might have put something in that book. But you know, maybe later on down the line, he might have read something else and thought, you know, maybe that just wasn't the right way to put that. There might be a fault in books. There could be all great books with great titles on them, but there could be faults in them. But there's only one book with no fault in it. That's this book here, the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God. It's the very living, breathing Word of God. It never dies or it never changes. When you open this Word up, it's alive. All other books are some man's words. All other books are some man's inspiration. But this book is inspired of God. It is God's only infallible Word. We see right away, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." This day and age is a battlefield of the mind. It's a battle of the mind. You know, it's on a regular basis. You know, last week I was meant to come and do the song leading for Mark, but you know, my wife got a call to go into work. She works in the toxicology labs in the Royal, dealing with different drug addicts and different cases. But someone decided to drink antifreeze. And antifreeze is highly deadly. It wrecks every organ in your body. It'll kill you real quick. And that's why they took it. Because this is a regular occurrence. People today are suicidal. People today think they've nothing to live for. And one of the great problems, I've said before, I'll say again, is the teaching of evolution. It's not evolution. Yes. Because evolution will teach you that one day there was a great big bang, and for no reason or another, some wee thing appeared, and then that wee thing appeared into something else, and finally that thing become like a half monkey type thing, and then that thing there evolved into a human being, so you've really nothing to live for. Devil wants to tell you this morning that you're no good and you've nothing to live for, and what's the point in being here? That's the devil's message. But God's message is, he formed you in his image, in the image of God. But you know, when he breathed into them the breath of life, that's that very same life that was in Christ. There's life in a human that's not an any or thing. There's life in a human that's not an animal, because you've got a soul. You've got something in you that an animal doesn't have. But you see, in this day and age, animals have been exalted to the level of humans. And people of the poor wee animal. You know, like the boys out on the hunts, where you like it or don't like it, as look, it doesn't annoy me in the slightest. If this country ever had a real battle to face, they're all a bunch of wimps. Because there's no blood sport. They couldn't do nothing. When I was no age at all, I could gut a rabbit and skin it. That was some achievement. You know, I wasn't afraid to get my hands dirty. But you know, a child today, they don't even know where food comes from. Where does the milk come from? Big bottle at the supermarket. Oh, and don't drink that, because them farmers are cruel to them cows. They spend thousands of pounds putting in big fancy beds for them to lie on. They spend thousands of pounds putting them down nice coating on the beds. They spend thousands of pounds on treatments. They put thousands of pounds every day into feeding them, but why they don't like them. They're awful bad to them. They're hateful to them. Don't do that because it's against everything. Do you know where this takes you right back into Genesis then, doesn't it? Like Gary was talking about the two in Genesis. When you go right back into Genesis, didn't you see what the inspiration was of Abel? Or sorry, Cain. Cain was inspired to bring of the fruit of the ground. He brought of the fruit of the ground, but Abel brought a bleeding lamb. And you know what? It was a brutal looking thing, wasn't it? A lamb with his throat cut and the blood everywhere. A mess. Amen. You know, I was also thinking, when Gary was talking this morning, he was talking about getting that, when you get the Holy Ghost anointing on you or anything like that, or if you're born again. Brother Branham said, any birth is a mess. Doesn't matter why you go down into a pig pen or you go to a calving house or a lambing shed, it's a mess. Yes. If you've ever lambed a ewe or calved a cow, you'll be covered in everything that comes out. If it doesn't matter where you are, it's a mess. Yeah. It's not all nice and clean and tidy. Yeah. And you know, when that baby's born, it'll cry. Yes. It'll cry. You know, when that wee lamb's born, it's not long, mommy starts talking to them. If you've got a good ewe, the good, she'll start licking them lambs, and them lambs start making wee noises. That's their talking. And mommy and that wee ewe, they make a bond up. But if you've got an old dud one, she'll run off sometimes when she gets them lamb. You see, that's the world system. They want a woman today to have a wee dog in a handbag instead of a baby anymore. Because the animal's more exalted than the human. You see, that's the God of this evil age. That's the God of this world. That's not what wasn't intended to be the case. That's not nature. If you go down into that lambing shed or into that calving shed, you'll see what nature is. Because even when that calf's born, some cows will put you out of the house because they think you're going to do harm to that calf. They're protecting that baby. You think how much God protect you. You're his baby. You're his loved one. You're the one that he died and laid down his life for. He loves you. He gave himself for you, and he'll do anything for you. I've wrote down here, this world is a battlefield. We must recognize our enemy. We must recognize the enemy. You know, you don't load up, there he is. You know, you just don't shoot all right here. You have to identify the target. I just looked up for a matter of interest on Wikipedia. You could look up anything at all, but I just looked up to see how many people have been killed by friendly fire. It's not that friendly. But they call it friendly fire in a bottle situation if someone happens to be hit by their own side or shot dead or blown up or whatever the case may be. But you know, it says there have been many thousands of friendly fire incidents in recorded military history, accounting for an estimated 2% to 20% of all casualties in battle. Now, that's a big percentage. If you took the amount of people that went out in World War One, say, for an example, or World War Two, and you took 20% of them could have been injured by their own side. Friendly fire. The devil on the doing all the thing in them old bottles. You look back there like that, the bottle of Wellington. If you look back in them times when them boys were fighting with black powder guns, if you've ever had the chance, a lot of us have seen my dad at black powder guns. And I've fired the black powder guns. And when you fire a black powder gun, there's a lot of smoke. It's very hard to see. You could shoot at a target, you had to wait a while to see. Did you actually get the target or not? But there's a lot of noise and smoke. That's the way the devil wants you. He'll put up a smoke screen. He'll make a lot of noise, maybe. He'll do something to scare you and spook you. He'll come at you like a lion roaring. He'll come at you and pull up a big smoke screen so that you, well, what will I do now? Just saddle yourself. Just wait. When that smoke clears, you'll see. And if you have shot right the target, it'll be down. You'll have hit the target. You'll have hit the target. If you press on towards the target, you'll get to the target. You will reach your destination. But if you get all panicky and all upset, you'll never make it that way. I want to turn your Bible to you this morning. We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, just to see, as I said, this day and age is a day for the mind to be messed up. As like There was a man actually come one day out of the hospital, and he come up. He works down in the morgues. Not a very nice place to work, but he worked down there, and he said that he would love to bring some young people down to see the amount of people in their 20s and 18-year-olds who have taken their own life because of this evil age. Because we have a system today that's teaching people in school you can be anything you like. And you don't say if you're a he or a she or this or that, you're a him or this or something else. It's unnatural. And we see here that the Bible tells us this is going to be the case. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll just read one verse. Or sorry, we'll read a few verses. We'll read maybe down, verses 1 down to verses 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Proud. What do we see everywhere now? We are proud, or we are pride. We are proud to promote pride. Even on the radio, I was looking through this. Pride radio. Everybody wants to be identified with being proud and pride. Proud cometh before a fall. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're living in perilous times. Also we see here, without natural affection. That there just doesn't cover the whole pride thing and everything else. That covers that other thing as well that I'm telling you about. People want to make an animal a human. That's not natural affection. Yes, you can love your pet, you can do all that there, but I mean, if that thing becomes more than an animal, that's not natural affection. Natural affection is loving your child,
yes,
or loving a human being. If you see a person suffering, you should have affection. But people, you see, like I said about them hunt spies, they would like to go up and knock the boy off the horse and see him getting half killed. And that would be great. But the poor wee fox, the poor innocent creature of a fox that wouldn't do anybody any harm, until you need to keep yourself a lot of hens sometime. Me and Gary kept hens. And we had a nice pen, and the pen was pretty secure. It was really good and secure. It was right and well done. It was a good job. It was one of Bobby's old pheasant pens, and we put a lot of birds in it. We come down one day, and there was a whole tunnel. Mr. Innocent Fox tunneled a hole in and bit the heads off all the hens near enough and didn't take anything. So it wasn't that the poor wee critter needs to eat, the poor wee critter needs a feed. He needs a feed of number 6 lead at close range. He actually needs a feed of. The poor wee innocent fox wouldn't do any harm. And the Bible talks about it. The innocent foxes are the little foxes that spoil the vines. But it's only a wee sin. It's only a wee, poor wee fox. The poor wee critter. Don't do the critter any harm. And then we've got the poor wee bodgers. And it's costing everybody thousands of pounds, because nearly every farmer in the country's down with TB, but the poor wee innocent bodgers cannot be touched. But kill every dairy cow in the country. Take away all the beef suckler herds so that you can have no food. Do away with your food. Try and starve yourself, but as long as the poor innocent creature's all right, that's okay. What would be the thought behind that? This know also, that in the last days, there's perilous times. There's a mind issue. I've seen a thing lately of a woman, and she got up and she put on a suit like a cat, and she got up to school and she said to them, "I identify as a cat, and I'm dressed here today as a cat, and did you see that I'm a cat?" And then they all looked at her and said, "No, you can see that I'm actually a woman dressed as a cat." But yous are telling people that they can come to school and be a cat. Or you can come and be a nit or a that or a this or that. And you would tell, she said, "You would tell me that I'm mentally disturbed if I told you that I actually think I'm a cat, that I'm dressed like a cat." But you see, that's the situation, because the god of this evil world has blinded the minds of people on the system. You see, like, I don't know the full story about John's situation, but I'm sure it probably is to do with the get the job. You had to have the job to get into America. Because with a wishy-washy, dried-up weed trying to run the country, but he's a puppet on a string. And he's controlled by an or hierarchy behind that. And the Bible says that it would come to be in the last days that you could neither buy nor sell unless you received the mark or the number of the name. Now, I'm not saying that that's what that was, but I'm saying it's a pre-runner. And we're about to have another pre-runner. I don't know why you've heard it on the news or anything, but there's going to be, it's maybe next Sunday, your phone is going to alarm. That's going to tell you that the phone's going to alarm. Everybody's phone's going to alarm. And this is going to be the government. They're going to do this here. This is a precursor. This is to tell you if there's ever any major disasters, we will send an alarm to your phone so that you know there's something happening. Because you see, they're scared now because, you see, because of a wishy-washy by in the United States, we've got the Russian war ongoing, and if they're afraid now because he could just blow the whole thing on the face of the earth. But you know, Brother Branham had a vision, and everywhere he looked in America was craters and smoke rising everywhere. Now, that could be what's about to happen. I don't know. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but we see that this is what the case is. Your phone's going to ring, or it's going to make a siren sound, and it'll ring for so long, and then it'll knock off. So the government is linked to everybody's phone. We're seeing with COVID, they took control of the whole world. How do you take control of somebody? Threaten them with their health. How did they do it in olden times? If you don't listen to me, boy, you'll be tied to the stake, and you'll be burnt to death. You'll be tucked up there and your head will be chopped off. If you don't listen, threaten a man with his life and see what he is. But we know that there was martyrs. There was men that said, I will not bow to your limits. I will not take what you're telling me. I won't open up my gob and get the spoon shoved down my throat and just say, that's great, wee devil, I'll take it. No, I'll think before I leap. I'll look before I leap. I'll consider the matter. I'll read my word of God and I will understand if it's right or if it's wrong. I won't just say, I'll accept anything as long as Jimmy or Joe or Jack or whoever he is said it. I'll just accept it. If you just accept everything you're told, like a boy said, if you believed all you'd hear, you'd eat all you see. It's a true saying, isn't it? If you believed all you hear, you'd eat all you see, you wouldn't consider nothing, would you? But a wise man considereth, and he doesn't open his mouth right away. He listens first. He doesn't say, you don't just speak right away, you listen to the matter. You listen and understand what's going to about take place, and then you can decide for yourself what the situation is. But if you've read God's word, it says, let that mind be in Christ, let that mind be in you that was in Christ. If you're reading God's word and feeding that, you'll ooze out that same thing. If you eat enough garlic, you'll smell like garlic. It'll go right through your pores. If you take enough of God's word, it'll go right out through you. It's on the inside, but it will show on the outside. You'll not tell me that some man's a Christian. It'll show on the outside. Like I went one time to get stuff of a man, and I took my dad with me away a long time ago. And I hadn't said to him anything. We're just down the yard. We weren't even talking about Bible things. We're talking about farming and different things. These men were farmers. You know, when we're driving up the road, my dad said, them men must be Christian men, are they? He says, by the hour. He says, I just thought that. There was something about them. And if you're in their company, you would know that. You would know. And it wasn't an act. You could meet other men, and when they see you, boy, and they could put on a false face. A false face is no use, because when the false face comes off, the reality will hit in then. You can't put a suit on and become a Christian. You can't put a false face on and just become a believer overnight. There has to be a birth. There has to be something take place. The Spirit of God has to move on you. You have to realize your condition. If you don't know that you're sick, you don't know you need a physician. If you didn't realize that you weren't well, but you will know. Like I said to the boy one time, COVID was the only disease that somebody actually had to tell you to go and get a test because you didn't know you weren't well. Those people had to go and get a test because they weren't. No, I said to them, boy, were you ever sick before? He says, was I? Said, did you need anybody to tell you were sick? You don't. If you didn't feel well, what I had to tell you, hey, boy, you don't feel well. You would know yourself. But you see, that's what I say. If you can be manipulated into thinking, that's what I said before. The soldier's drill is to make a soldier operate without thinking. If you're took out and drilled every day, you march this road and march that road, put the gun a certain way, unload the gun a certain way, check the gun a certain way, aim the gun a certain way, go into action a certain way, do everything a certain way. If you're drilled long enough, that becomes like a natural instinct. It's like a man doing any sport. If he does it long enough, it becomes a natural instinct. He doesn't have to think of what he's about to do. He does it. And the enemy wants to drill you his road. He wants to drill you to the God of this evil age's mindset. As it says here, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Well, a lot of the disobedient to parents thing has been created by man as well, because there's no discipline. You can't say, hey, boy, if you keep that up, I'll go to that hedge and I'll cut a stick out of that hedge and I'll tell you what, you'll soon come around to the right way of thinking. You don't say that, you see. You couldn't do that. Oh, goodness me, don't do that, poor wee Jimmy. You don't do that, Orm. Now, don't get me wrong. I can't hardly remember a time in my life that my father clipped me once. That's the truth now. And I'm the only fella, I'm the only one in our family that could probably say that. Because he did hammer the life out of some of them our boys. But in saying that, if you listen, they'll tell me, oh, my dad beat me for this and that. But if you listen to the full story, one boy was caught in the wheel of a coal lorry, sitting up inside her, swinging around inside her, and he wondered why his dad beat him. You know? Maybe another boy done something down through the roof of a house or something like that. Now, why would he be on the roof in the first place? You see what I'm saying? But I'm saying there is ways and means of doing things, but if you're, it says, train up a child when he's young in the ways of the Lord, and when he gets older, he'll not depart from it. And if you're wise enough, as it were, to look at the examples and see, you'll understand what's right and wrong. But you know, this is why we've got disobedient to parents, because if you do a thing, the teacher has told me to ring this line, and you're in trouble. I seen one as well where the police was called out to the house, the child had rang the police. But when the police called out, thankfully they had more sense, because they said, what did you actually do? And they turned the tables, and then the child realized that he was in the wrong, and that the parent was only doing it out of love. You see, sometimes love's tough. Doesn't seem easy sometimes, but love doesn't have any compromise. You know, it's like if you're going to jump off a cliff, there's no point in saying, don't be doing that. Oh, come on back, you poor wee critter. You're like half sleeping, like you need a good shake. You wouldn't do that, wouldn't you? Say, don't be going that road. Come out of it now. You would waken him up and tell him to come out of it and don't go in there. Well, God has sent many a voice to say, waken up, come out. Come out of the systems. Come out of being a wishy-washy Christian. Be a genuine article. Like I said before, you know, an old plant that's raised in a greenhouse, if you took it outside, put it on a mountain for a day, it would probably die. It couldn't withstand the blast, because it's been all the time lapped up in a wee greenhouse. And you know, there's greenhouse Christians. And all the time they're lapped up in a wee greenhouse. And boy, it would offend them if they heard this, or offend them this or that, or something else would offend them. Because this world is full of people that are waiting just to be offended. If you looked at them sideways, you could offend them. But God doesn't want you to be offended. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to take a stand. He wants you to be of good courage. It says on down here in verses 3, it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, you know, like I said, you'll get people, you can live like the devil all week, do whatever you like, live whatever way you like, As long as you turn up on Sunday morning and put something in that box, you're 100%. Make sure you turn up, and you know, oh, me and Gary and Mark was laughing a week or two ago because we're talking about some of the systems do a name and shame. You could get your wee envelope. You'll have a wee book, and at the end of the year, you'll be named and shamed. If you haven't put enough in, your name could be brought out of the hat. Jimmy only put in this, and John done this, or somebody else done that. And look at this here, name and shame. But you know, in the Bible, wasn't there a wee woman come one day and put a penny in? And the disciples said, look at that there. But Jesus said she gave all she had. So it doesn't matter, you know, with us, this world system again, the name and shame system, having a form of godliness. They'll have a form of godliness. Like, you know, there used to be a station on the radio who said, let the Bible speak. And my dad, he always said it should be called, let the Bible speak, and we'll change it. Because the Bible will say, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Oh, but that was for the disciples. That's not for today. You must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no, our denomination doesn't believe that, boy. We believe in the three titles. We believe by what the Pope said. That's really what they should be taught to say, because that's really what it is. He's the author behind it. You believe what the Pope said, or do you believe what the Word of God says? Which will you take? Will you take the Pope's doctrine, or will you take God's words? Which will it be? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They'll not take the power with it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to slag anybody or run anybody down, because some of them people would put you to shame. Dedicate it through Christians in every other way. But because their eyes have been blinded. This is an age of deception and blinding of the eyes. Now, there is people that will only see so much. But you know, even if I won't argue or fall out with a man, if he gets as far as believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him, I believe he's a Christian. I'm not going to say, oh, boy, he's lost because he didn't see what I see. But you know, I will say what I believe. Don't be saying, oh, boy, don't mention your man because of tick fear, or don't do this or that, because I'll tell you something. The devil is not afraid to put anything he wants down your throat. He'll not ask you, do you want a ticket? He'll shove it down your throat. You know, the television was a precursor to this here, to educate people that today's moral standards is all right. Because we had the great minister on TV, and he could head down to the pub, and he usually was a sort of a half, forgive the pardon, but he was a half Ponzi, or some sissified crater. And he could go down and be like that. And you know, that was the way we're educated to believe that that's the way it is. And people have an idea in their head. If they meet a man, if he's a Christian, you know, that's why I love going anywhere with Rock. If you were out on the street with Rock, boy, he broke the mold for them. And that's what attracted young people, because young people have an exception, a thing in their head that if you're a Christian, you're boring. If you're a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do something else. And there's a great big rule book of can't do's. But that's not the way it is. If you believe in God, you know what's amazing? The joy you'll have. It's greater joy. It's not the sort of a joy that lasts for a season. People will go out now and they'll have a great night. They'll think they have a great night. They'll go out now and they'll get themselves legless. And then in the morning, well, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again in my life. But then next weekend, well, I had great crack last week. Come on, we'll do the same thing again. The devil will take you back to the vomit hole. He'll take you back to the pit every time. But God wants to give you, didn't he say to that woman at the well, he says, I'll give you a drink that you'll never thirst again. Amen. Something different. Something completely different. Amen. It says, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verses 17 and verses 20, he says, I beheld Satan, this is just a part of it, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the heaven. So we see also back in Genesis, it said in Genesis that thou hast been in Eden. Satan is now down on this earth. He's been cast out of the realm that he was in, but you know, it's not a case of, you know, I remember a story some people said one time they went to a certain place and they bored into the ground and they put a microphone in and the earth cries out of hell. That's nonsense. That's complete rubbish. Because you know when that rich man died and Lazarus died, He said, send them down to give me a wee drop of water. And he said, there's a gulf fixed between me and you. There's a gulf fixed between that realm. Me and you can't see that realm. But there's a realm all around you constantly pressurizing you. There's some people who are allowed to see into that realm. You know, there's different stories of people that passed on and were raised back from the dead, and they talked about the things that they seen. There's one man said it was like the trash can men of the underworld, is the way he described it. Like these different shapes and evil spirits. But you see, the world today would have you to believe there's no such thing. Like my daughter, he asked the teacher one time, he said, is there any demons or devils now? And she said, oh no, that was only in the Bible times. They don't exist anymore. But you know, there's no new thing under the sun. Anything that ever was is still here today. Amen. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. And if we go in our Bibles to Revelations, I'm going to have to come to the close. I said I would look at the watch and then I done the opposite. I don't want to take all day and I want you to go away with something, not going away saying I took all day and I got nothing. Revelations chapter 12. I've read verses 7 on down. Verses 7 down to verses 9. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his archangel fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against on his angels. So he is messengers. The devil's not stand alone operator. He has his own, because it says that, you know, that when he fell from heaven, he drew a third part of the angels with him. So there's so many of them angels turned and went his road. But you know what it says, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought on his angels, and prevailed not. That's the key point. No matter what's going on around you, he didn't win. He's not going to win. He thinks he's winning. He thinks I'm getting the world under my way of going. And he'll use the governments. He'll use whatever he can to program people to just accept. Don't even think on the spot, but just you accept what I tell you. If John or Jimmy or whatever his name is, for any name, don't forgive me using the name, but if any name decides he's now Sheila or Sally, you can't say, oh, I can see that's Jimmy. That's not Sally. And Sally will want to use the women's toilets because he is now not a man anymore. There was a case of it, I'll not name any names, but there was a case of it in an organization. On one day, this boy believed he was now not this boy, but he was Sally, whatever her name is, to forgive anybody if that's your name. But you know, he came into work this lot of days, and that's who he was. He was she now. And he wanted to use the girls' toilets, but thankfully, that more brains to do that. Because then in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I'm not Sally anymore, I'm back to being Jimmy or whatever he was. Changed his mind. So you could just change his drop of a hat, because that is, it's a problem in the day of society. It's the perilous times. It's the word of God speaks of it. And it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And it says, and I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And if you read on down, it says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But we see that he was cast down onto the earth. He came down onto the earth, and what comes with him? Death and destruction. Because he's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the father of death. He's a transformer. Or sorry, he's a deformer, meant to say. He is a deformer. God's a transformer. He'll transform your life. The devil's a deformer. He'll want to take something that God has created and deform it. That's the mindset today, without going into too much detail. But you can see the mindset is to deform. But God says you can be transformed. If you've got an issue, God can change it. He can transform the mindset by the power and the renewing of God's word. I don't know why I've probably took up too much time, but I'm going to have to have a whole load of... I wrote down all these notes because it's just the way I normally operate. You write all this stuff down and then you'll never get to it. But I want to maybe hit one or two more points. I've wrote down here how to deal with the enemy to defeat him. Like I said at the start, you have to recognize the enemy. You know these men that I told you these statistics of these men in different battles, how they were killed by their own men. The devil wants you to turn in on yourself. He wants you to see your brother as your enemy. He doesn't want you to see the real enemy. He wants to put up a smoke screen. He wants you to believe that he's talking about me. She's talking about me. Well, they're not for me. He's not for me. Somebody else isn't for me and this and that. Don't let the enemy creep in with that old story. Cast that down immediately. Have a different mindset. For in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to finish in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5, it says, I'm just going to read a bit of it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Amen. We're not fighting against each other. We can't go out and say we'll go onto the battlefield and we'll see the enemy and we'll attack him by a certain... We'll get some sort of ammunition and we'll get him. It's not the way it works. It's a spiritual warfare. But your mind says, the first reading I read in Isaiah says, let him be in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. There's only one place of safety this morning, and that's in Jesus Christ. Let's just stand a moment and we'll close in prayer before Gary comes. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your mercy and for your grace, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all these examples and all these guidance that you have put in your word for us this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that someone will take courage this morning, that someone, Lord, will be edified this morning from these few words, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll bless each and every one. Keep your hand upon us, Lord, in the days that lie ahead in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll touch each and every one this morning, Lord. Lord, any of those that need a touch in their body, Lord, we know that you are the great physician. Lord, we know that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, I say this morning, Lord, let anyone in this place this morning with an ailment say that they are healed this morning by your stripes. It's not of anything that we can do or we have done, but Lord, we agree and we say amen to what you have done. By faith this morning, we reach out and touch the hem of your garment afresh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll help each and every one, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch all our loved ones at this time, Lord. Let the scales fall off their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes to this world system. Open their eyes to their need of salvation. Let the transforming power of God come upon them, Lord. Change every circumstance in Jesus' name. We curse every lie and thought of the enemy this morning in Jesus' name. That would try to creep into any household. That would try to creep into any young man or young woman's thoughts. Lord, I cast it down in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you let the renewing power, let the thoughts of God come into their heart and into their mind so much that the enemy has nowhere to go. Fill the house this morning with your love, with your power, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost power come in. That there's no room for anything else, Lord, to come in. Take over every vessel. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, for the glory of God. Give you all the thanks, Lord, and all the praise. Lord, if I've said one thing amiss, Lord, or out of place, I pray that you'll forgive me this morning, Lord. Let every word of mine be cast down, but Lord, every thought of yours, I pray that it be exalted. Lord, I pray that it would take root downward and bear fruit upward in Jesus' name. For the glory of God we pray, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I enjoyed that this morning. Praise God. And it's good not to be too formal, isn't it? Just to be plain speaking. You know, that's what John the Baptist was a bit like that, wasn't it? And he riled up the religious leaders because he just used plain everyday language and called them a bunch of snakes and a bunch of vipers. Why, they didn't like it. You know, just to call, like the Bible would say, just say what it is. Just, you know, if it is what it is, say what it is. When Samuel was talking about Sally and Jimmy there, I thought of a thing I've seen that's maybe a little bit carnal, but you'll forgive me, but I thought it was good. It was a man, he said that if Jimmy identifies as Sally and follows my wife or my daughter into the girls' washrooms or restrooms or bathroom, I'll be identifying as a tooth fairy. You know, it's just madness. It's madness to entertain that type of an idea. You know, don't ever entertain a devil like that there, give him a place by. Don't entertain them type of thoughts. If somebody's a man and they're identifying as a woman, don't ever dress them as a woman. Because all you're doing is being partaker in their lie. Don't be partaking in that lie. Even on, you know what, there's going to come a time when there will persecution come. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But as Samuel talked about this morning, there was a group of people that when the pressure came on, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow. And there was even people in the Bible who wouldn't burn. But some people did burn because they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, because they loved not their lives unto death. Praise God. There is a remnant. Praise God. God has people. And we don't want to be conforming to this world. But as Samuel read in that scripture, having your minds renewed by the power of God, and just to keep going and not to be, you know, it's getting more and more difficult of a truth in this world. Every Samuel says everybody wants to be offended. They're actually looking for a reason now to be offended. And you know what we have now? We have a Christophobic society, a society that's against Christians, a hatred of free speech. You could hardly go on the amount of people that I see on my phone at the Christian Institute or different places are having to come to people's rescue, who are being arrested for no reason, for preaching on the street, for preaching hate crime supposedly. But you know, the Bible's not a banned book yet, but you know, the devil's been trying for a long time to get it banned, and that's why he's come out with all his different translations, because they take parts of it away and they water it down. And you know, if you take the word count of the King James Bible from the middle of the book of Romans, I believe it is, to the book of Revelations, I don't know how many words it is, but that's the word count that's missing from the NIV. And that's a brave lot of words out for a book that was said not to take one word out or add one word to. That's a lot. So, praise God. Anyway, listen, I'm not going to say no more, but can we sing that little chorus, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength"? Brother Matthew, if we can get that one up. I'm not even sure what key we're in. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's say it a wee bit different.